Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark again. I'm back up here. I'm so glad that you guys have joined us online or in the community center or here in our worship center this morning. We are continuing, as Nick said, in the series Awakened. And the question that I think that has arisen, at least in me in this season, in this phase that we're in, is this question of who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity. Who am I to be able to lead through a pandemic? There wasn't a seminary class in pandemic, and this is how you lead a church through that. It's like, how am I supposed to do that? Who am I? Or even put that aside, address some of the seniors in the room as we have recognized them. Like, well, I might think when I was a senior, for sure, I thought this, who am I to go on to what's next, to go on to college? I was a straight C student in high school. So literally like my, thank you for the claps there. I just feel the encouragement. So I literally got like straight C's my last semester. Usually it's like A, B, F, you know, it all averages out to 2.0. But it was straight C's my last semester. And I remember when I felt calling a call to ministry, and this sermon title is Being Awakened to Calling and Purpose, that I remember that and feeling like, really? You know, can I go to Bible college? I was sensing that God was calling me to ministry, and I'm like, well, and believing that I should pursue Bible college and get a BA, and I'm like, I'm a 2.0 student. How am I supposed to do that? I remember working up the courage to go to my pastor at the time and go to a few key leaders in the church I was attending at the time and a part of. And I was like nervous, I was apprehensive, and I was like, you know, should I, I'm nervous about telling them this. I remember going up to them, and it was similar with each person when I went up to them, and I barely could look at them in the eye. I'm like, you know, I think I'm supposed to go to, you know, Bell College. You know, it's like, what, can you say that again, please? Stop mumbling. I was nervous, I was apprehensive, like I said. I'm like, who am I to be able to do this? Who am I to be called in this way? And each and every one of us has a calling and a purpose. You could be called to be a missionary, called to be a pastor, called to be just in your everyday lives, out in your workplaces or in your schools. Each and every one of us has a calling. But in this season that we're in, this phase that we're in, we can be tired. We can be weary. Really, God, 2020, as I said, for the class of 2020, why weren't we the class of 2019? Or why was I born with the year I was born, and now here we are in 2020. Who am I to be able to lead and to help in this season? As I said a few weeks ago, this finish line where we think this phase is going to end is here, and we get to it, and then it feels like it gets extended out again. And how are we supposed to navigate that? Or we feel weary and we feel tired. Really, God, you're going to have a calling and a purpose for me. I could barely navigate my own family, my own household, let alone think about a calling. I can barely navigate the depression or the anxiety or the fatigue that I feel right now. And a few weeks ago, I shared about how God's grace is all we need. His strength works perfect, works best in our weakness. And we're thankful for that, that those who trust in the Lord, they will soar high like wings like on eagles, that they will run and not grow weary, that they will walk and not faint. And yet we can wrestle with this question, who am I? How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to lead? How am I supposed to help in such uncertain times that we are living in? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I really believe, actually, we are in great company. As we're going to look at a few people, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and we'll finish up with the Apostle Paul, with people who really asked this question of God. When God called them, they said, well, who am I? Who am I? And we're going to look about how God really wrestles with people, and then the people there wrestling with God with this question, who am I? We are being awakened to this question. Good and bad things we're being awakened to. A good thing or a bad thing or a thing that is hard is, who am I? Who am I to be able to do this now in 2020? But before we dive in, let me pray. Father, I'm thankful that you are present with us this morning, that you are faithful, that wherever we're at with this thing, if we're like, yeah, I can do this, you know, I'm ready to be used by you, to be called and to have a purpose, or we're like, forget about that right now, God. I'm just trying to make it through the day, wherever we're at, that you meet us there, that your grace is all we need, and your strength works best in our weakness. We're thankful for that. Be with me as I continue to share this morning, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first person we're going to look at is Moses. So Moses, he's going to lead the people of Israel, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, Moses is part of this family, Abraham's family, that goes back generations before him. And there was a man named Abraham that God called, and he said, you're going to have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and that I'm going to give you this promised land down the road. And as you read through Genesis and then you get to Exodus, you get to see this family grow and grow, and they end up in Egypt where they're slaves, where they're oppressed, where they're crying out, and God hears their cries. And God appears to Moses in this burning bush, in the bush that is on fire but not being consumed. Moses, he goes to check this out. And when he goes, God says, Moses, Moses. And he's like, here I am. And God said, take off your sandals, because where you are standing, this is holy ground, because God was present there with him. And we're going to see some highlights from this interaction between Moses and God. And really, God is calling him to do this, but we'll see how Moses responds. But first, we can see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here's the moment, here's this pivotal moment in Abraham's family, the children of Israel, that God hears their cries. He's telling Moses this. He's like, okay, now go. I will send you out to do this, that they can be free. And Moses' response is, okay, let's go. You know, when's my flight to Egypt? I mean, he didn't have a flight, but he was ready to go, right? And those of you who know this story know it was the opposite of what Moses said. And really, we're going to see, we're going to look first at Moses and his response, and then we'll go back to see how God responded to him through that. And there's a lot here in Exodus 3, chapter 3 and chapter 4. I encourage you, if to refresh your mind, you can read through that maybe this week. But Moses' response is in chapter 3, verse 11. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses really being awakened to, who am I? How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to be the one to go to this king, this Pharaoh who thinks he's a god, and go to him and do what you are asking me to do? Who am I? Really is saying, well, I can't do this. And in chapter 4, verse 10, Moses says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. It's like, I can't speak and go before Pharaoh, go before this king. There is no way I can do this. Anybody else? I often think, like, if this was a job opening and God was like, imagine like you're recruiting somebody for a job and you find somebody and you're like, there's this guy, Moses, he could be really good for this job. So you go and recruit this person. And you say, I'm going to set up an interview with you Tuesday at 3. And you're like, okay. He comes to the interview and he's like, this is this great job. It's actually going to be one of the most important jobs you could ever have, probably in human history. It's going to be hard, but I believe you can do it. You're going to have to do some speaking. You're going to have to speak to some higher up people, but I believe you can do it. What do you say? And the person's like, who am I? I can't do that. I can't go before people. I can't speak in front of people. I can't speak in front of anybody, especially really important people. I can't do that. If that was the first interview, that person's probably not getting a second, right? It's like, no, we're going to, who's next on the list? Somebody who actually wants to do this job. It's like, no, and yet, God, what does God do? What is God? How does God respond to this? And I think we're just set up in our own culture, and I would suggest, if you're actually in an interview, don't say that. If you want the job, don't say, I don't know, you know. Show that you have some skills and gifts that God has given you. But because of just we're used to that, that we think when God calls us, that anybody who's called by God, they just got to be, okay, I'm ready to go. Send me. I'll figure it out as I go. We'll, you know, build the plane while it's up in the air. We'll figure it out. It's like, No, like it is okay to say, if God is calling you to something, I don't know. God, really wrestle and be honest with him. Who am I, God? What do you see in me? What is happening here? And it's okay to go to God because it's a safe thing to go to him and really wrestle with him with if he's calling you to do something. And I love that, as I said, if we have this question, who am I, that we're in great company if Moses is really wrestling with God with this. And we can see God's response in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, then, if Moses is saying, who am I? God is saying, I am who I am. Or some translations say, I will be who I will be, or I am that I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is one of the most important passages, verses in the Bible. As God is revealing his name, some would say Jehovah or Yahweh. We don't really know exactly how to pronounce that name, but he goes on to say in Exodus chapter 3 that this is going to be a name that is known for generations, that we still talk about that even today, that God is, I am, I will be who I will be, I will be with you. So when we wrestle, when we ask God, well, who am I? Then we need to know, well, who is God? Who is the God that is calling us and appointing us to do whatever it is that he called us to do? And that's what he's helping Moses to see as he's wrestling with this, who am I? He says, well, I am, and I will be with you, and I will see this through with you. He goes on to say in verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, when Moses is like, I'm not eloquent in speech, I'm slow to speak and of tongue, and he says, who has made man's mouth? It's like, well, you got me there, you made my mouth. Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. And then Moses is like, okay, I'm ready to go. No, he still is like, I can't do it, no. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you Aaron, your brother, to be able to speak and go before Pharaoh in this time, in this pivotal time in Israel's history. And God working with Moses is, he's chosen him. He's chosen him to do this important task, to have this calling, this purpose, to lead the people out of Egypt. And that is what happens. And as the years go by, Israel, they end up in the promised land. And they end up there, but they have some kings, and they don't always follow the ways of the Lord, and they worship other gods, and this kingdom is divided. There's a northern and a southern kingdom, and the southern kingdom is Judah. And we're going to look at Jeremiah as he's a prophet in the midst of this time in Israel's history. So generations after Moses, we're going to see how Jeremiah really was called by God and how he wrestled with God's calling. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we can see the scene is set with what I just said about when Jeremiah is a messenger, a prophet of God. He says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. He was one of the kings of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. So Jeremiah here is in a critical time, as really it's the end of the southern kingdom, Judah, as it's winding down, unfortunately, at least for this time, where Jerusalem will be held captive. Now Jeremiah, he's in this line of prophets, as well as Isaiah, we'll talk about him in a few minutes, that preserve the beliefs of Israel, and that go back to the formation of the people. And Judah needed to be called back to that, called back to their original beliefs, called back to God. And Jeremiah was tasked to deliver a message of warning and of judgment and of hope. I don't know about you guys, well, I want to be tasked with a message of hope, but he had to be tasked with warning and judgment as well, not only to Judah, the southern kingdom, but then even, as we will hear, he's a prophet to the nations as well. And the Lord came to him, and it says in verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's response, O sovereign Lord, O Lord of hosts, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. I can't do it. We saw Moses, who am I? I can't speak. I am slow with tongue. I can't do this. Or Jeremiah, I'm too young. Who am I that I can do something like this? And God told Moses, I am. I will be with you. I will give you the words to speak. He tells Jeremiah, even before this, that, hey, I formed you and I knew you before I formed you. I knew you. I appointed you. I consecrated you. I set you apart for this purpose. Jeremiah might be thinking, if that was 2020, why was I born in 2020? Couldn't I have been born another time? But God knew, and God set him apart for that purpose, as well as he did with Moses. And God's response, but the Lord said to me, don't say I am a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. God, he gives people, when he has called them, set them apart, he gives them the words to say, as we saw even with Moses and now here with Jeremiah. I will give you those words. I will be with you to deliver you. He says in verse 7, see, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck you up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. So Jeremiah has that message of hope to build and to plant, but then he has some hard messages as well, warning and judgment, which ultimately comes to Judah especially. And we get to see this message that he has that's hard. God's not trying to say his calling is going to be easy, but that he's going to be with him to deliver him. He's going to give him those words to say. What an amazing picture that he's like, I'm putting those words in your mouth. Sometimes I think, well, God's like this coach, but he's more than a coach because he's not just like, let me motivate you. You can do this. You got this. I'm going to be with you. But he's more than a coach because he's telling them, I will put my words in your mouth. I will give you what you need to say. I will give you what you need to have the strength that you need to be able to do what it is that I've called you to do. And I formed you. I know you before I even formed you. I knew this was all going to happen. And that is why you are here. Now let's look at Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, love this. This scene that we get to see here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. These are angelic type figures. And he had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two his feet, with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. What an amazing picture that happens in the temple. The smoke that is there, these angels that are there, these seraphim. And Isaiah responds in this way, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. And I actually think this is the response that probably any one of us would have as we would be in the presence of the Lord of hosts. And we would realize, yeah, we are simple. We are unclean. And even today in 2020, we could say, I fall short every day and I'm a sinner and I'm unclean. And we can just look around in this world and we live in a world that is sinful, that is unclean. And we can see that. And yet, God's response here isn't to say, well, Isaiah, you're right, you're unclean, the people are unclean, I'm out, I'm gonna go find some clean people. He says this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for, covered. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. As now he is clean, his sins are atoned for, covered, paid for. Now he can say, here I am, send me. So wherever we're at with this thing, who am I? Are you sure, God? Do you pick the right person? Like Moses is like, I can't speak. I can't do what you've called me to do. Or Jeremiah is like, I am young. I can't. How am I supposed to do this? Or Isaiah is like, I'm unclean. And all of these people are unclean. How are we going to do this? And God's saying, your sins are atoned for. They're covered. And even today, now in 2020, Jesus has paid the price for our sins. They're covered. He's paid for them. If you place your trust in Jesus, you are forgiven no matter where you're at. If you're fatigued and exhausted, if you have been sinning, you have been struggling with sin, that when we confess our sin and place our trust in Jesus, we're forgiven. And guess what? God says, all right, are you ready? Are you ready to be sent now? And God is, and our response should be, imagine if our response was like Isaiah, here I am, send me. And yet he had a difficult message. If you were to read on in Isaiah 6, where it's like people are going to, he's going to say things and they're not going to hear them. Their hearts are going to be hard. And as I said with Judah, they went down the road where their kingdom was done, was finished, at least for that time. And we could see that it's a hard message sometimes that we have to communicate. Hard things. Our calling isn't easy all the time. It could be a struggle. It could be difficult. But yet God will be with us. He knew all of these things were going to happen. He's not surprised by anything. He's not surprised by what happened with Judah or what happened in Israel or what's happening right now in Minnesota or in the United States or around the globe in 2020. He's not surprised by that. In fact, he chose us to be here, appointed us to be here right now. The Apostle Paul, we're going to look at here. He's in prison. He's writing this letter to the churches, in the church in Ephesus. And he says here in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. A few weeks ago, I talked about the grace of God and how his grace is all we need. And the Apostle Paul talks about that too. And really, his grace gives us what we need every day. But then his grace is given to us, this saving grace. It's a gift. We don't have to do anything to earn that. If you place your trust in him, you receive this grace. We're forgiven. We're made right with God. And we have eternal life, life now and forever, because Jesus defeated death. And we have this free gift. It is amazing. It is awesome to have that. And we've been chosen and given this gift. But the thing is, when you choose somebody to do something, you don't just choose them. Imagine like choosing LeBron James, if you like him. If you don't, it's fine. But whoever your favorite player is, or sports player, if you like that, that you choose somebody to do that, you don't just sit them on the bench. Or you don't just choose someone and they're on the bench and they just wait for the game to be over. And then that's it. God chooses us, each and every one of us, to do something. We're chosen. And we can do something because of how he's gifted us, how he's continuing to gift us in various ways to be the church, to be a light in a world that needs it. And this verse I shared with our seniors earlier, Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, some translations say. Or we're like this, his canvas, and we're his work of art that he has created in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're the worst of sinners. It doesn't matter if whatever you're struggling with or wrestling with. It doesn't matter if you're completely fatigued, if you're done with this whole season and you don't know if you can make it, that God has created you. You are beautiful. You are his masterpiece, each and every one of you. I wish I could say, before you left, you are God's masterpiece to each and every one of you. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good. Even if right now you don't feel like that, that's okay. But that God meets you where you're at, like Moses, like Jeremiah, like these guys in the Bible, and he works with you. And he wants to get you to this place where you're awakened to who am I, to get you to the place that you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, that he knew you before you were formed. And he has gone before you. He's gone before you to be able to do good now. I kind of think like, here are these steps off the stage. These are already created, made before me. But I still got to like walk down them. They're still my piece that I need to do. Otherwise, I'm just on stage forever. And I never get to leave here. So these steps are here created before me, before I was here. But I still got to walk in them. Will you walk in what God has created beforehand for you to do? He's not surprised by 2020. And he has something good for you to do this year and beyond. What would happen if we walked in those things? And I get sometimes, like I said, it's hard. And we're exhausted, we could be fatigued, and yet what does God want to do in the midst of that? I remember a few years ago, I was at my old church, Crossroads in Albert Lee, and I had gone through a difficult season leading up to a baptism. So there's just some personal things in our family that were happening that really left me fatigued, exhausted, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And normally I'm excited about a baptism Sunday. It's so fun and so cool to see people make that step in their faith journey and to see these adults and kids and students that were going to be baptized. And I just wasn't really feeling it because of all of these things. I felt depleted. I felt done. And I remember still participating in that and having the opportunity to baptize some adults and some students and kids. And it was awesome. It was a great Sunday. And after the services, I got a text message actually from somebody who attended one of the services, and I had a picture of me baptizing one of the people, and it just said, "You were made for this. You were made for this." And that was such an encouragement as we encourage one to another that God uses us by his Holy Spirit to encourage and to exhort one another when we're really feeling exhausted. And that imagine that when we are fatigued, when we feel like we have nothing left, when we feel just exhausted for various reasons, that God is still saying to each and every one of you that you were made for this moment. You were made for this moment. I know it's hard. It's okay if you're like, I don't feel like that right now. But I'm here to tell you, you were made for this moment. That was almost going to be my big idea, but this is going to be my big idea right here. We are being awakened from this question of who am I to why not me? Why not me? Why not you? Why not us? Why not now? Why not Trinity Church, our Trinity Church family? Why not now? What would happen if we just began to walk in them? You might not be able to think, I can't make it down these steps, but just take the next step. And see how God provides, see how he sustains by his grace that is all that we need. His strength works best in our weakness. Remember that, Trinity Church family. Why not us? Why not now? Why not in this South Metro? And why not can it start with us? It can go beyond us, and that would be our prayer, that God's church, the big capital C church, would begin to walk in the good that God has given us and prepared beforehand. But it can start with us. Let's have it start with us now. Let's have it start with us now. I want you guys to consider this too. When it comes to your calling, you might be like, that is great, Mark, but what is my calling? Do I need to go away and maybe I need to go and fast for 40 days and 40 nights and go off, I don't know, to Jerusalem or go off somewhere in the United States, go on the Mount, I don't know, whatever mountain that you want to go on or whatever you got to think, you got to go on this big spiritual journey to find out your calling. And sometimes that's good to do that. I like doing a spiritual retreat or something like that. I'm not saying don't do that. If you're going to go fast for 40 days and 40 nights, just let somebody know though. We want to make sure you're okay. But I would say that our calling isn't elusive. God isn't just trying to trick us like, well, what's my calling? Your calling is actually probably right in front of you. And it's there for you to walk in. Could be you're a father, you're a mother, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a coworker. you're a teacher, you're in a classmate. Those interactions, those relationships that God has just placed right in front of you, there is your calling to walk in. I had a professor once in Bible college who would say, like, our direction comes from our relationships. So those relationships are there. You may go out and be a missionary, which is awesome. You may go out and do different things that is far away from Lakeville. That would be awesome. That is fantastic. But God places these things, these people, many times just right there in front of us to give us that direction and calling that he wants to. It is right there in front of you. It is before you. Would you walk in them? He's gone before you, Trinity Church. He's gone before all of us. He's not surprised by this. He's formed you, and before he formed you, he knew you. It wasn't a mistake. I said, you know, I think, you know, I'm born in 1980. I'm like, maybe I was supposed to be born in 1880, you know, and this has to be a mistake. Why am I born right here? Why am I alive right now? It's like, no, that is actually not true. That is a lie. And actually, as I said a few weeks ago, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to discourage. And those are the kind of thoughts, those are the kind of lies that we let get in and drag us down. I'm not ready for this. I was born at the wrong time. Why am I here? Why am I the class of 2020? Couldn't have been a different class. And it's like, no, the truth is, you were made for this. You were made for this moment. And if there's some people in the room who don't know Jesus yet, I'm here to tell you, why not now? Why not now? Place your trust in him. His grace is all that you need, and it gives you life now and forever if you place your trust in Jesus. You are his masterpiece. You are created to be in Christ Jesus. Will you place your trust in him? He wants you to place your trust in him. Will you do that? He loves each and every person, as I said. I wish I could say that on the way out to each and every one of you. You are his masterpiece. You're created in Christ Jesus, and you were made for this. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you're present with us. Wherever we're at, if we're like, who am I? I can't do this. Or I'm struggling with this sin or with this, or I'm just so fatigued, I'm so exhausted. You meet us where we're at. Your grace is enough to meet us wherever we're at with this. Or we're just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Send me. Let's go. I can do it. That you continue to be with us, giving us what we need to sustain us, to depend on you, to rely on you. Remind us when we ask that question, who am I, that you are the I am, and you will be with us. You will deliver us. You will give us what we need. But I'm so thankful that even after today, if we continue to ask, who am I, like Moses, you are there, you're present, and you continue to wrestle with us. You haven't given up on us, and I'm thankful for that. Be with those in the room who may not know you yet. Continue to draw them to you, that they would place their trust in you and receive this free gift of God, his grace that we don't deserve, that they would come to know you, place their trust in you, and have eternal life. Thank you for this our Trinity Church family. Thank you for what you're continuing to do. You're going to continue to go before us in this season with COVID and all of that, and whatever you have for us in the future, that you have gone before us, and we were made for this moment to go forward. I'm excited to see the good that you're going to do, and we will glorify you and praise you for the good you're going to do. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.